knocking some sense into proceedings a bit like Joe Westerman would. The Total Rugby League show returns this week with all the usual fun of the fair. Martin Sadler's here, Matthew Shorey is here, and a big welcome back to Mr. Alex Davis.
Hello.
So hello everybody and welcome to this week's show. Usual Rugby League chatter coming your way over the course of the next hour. Later we're going to be joined as well by Lorraine Marsden to talk about the Women's Challenge Cup semi-final this weekend. But before all of that, I'd just like to draw people's attentions to TotalRL.com, where there's a news story on there with a helpful guide to the comings and goings at all the various clubs. Last week we touched upon it. The dam finally burst, Matthew, and that inevitable transfer happened.
Yeah.
And that led to a whole host of other transfers happening. You said it would take 24, 48 hours. I think Aaron might have said that. Where are we up to? Because it's still going on.
Yeah. I think the bulk of it's done for now. There will be another round, no doubt. The transfer deadline is August 9th this year. So there's going to be another month of talks. It's all happening. The issue for most clubs is they're up to cap. The ones that aren't up to cap either don't have the money or are in a need where they need to recruit right now. So Leeds are done. There'll be no more from Leeds. The reality is no one can sign from the NRL now because the deadline's passed. So no one's going to the NRL. No one's coming from the NRL. So it's all domestic stuff. I'm sure there will be movement.
Interesting one to watch for is Huddersfield, isn't it? Because they're sliding into the relegation battle.
The thing with Huddersfield is they're pretty much up to cap. I don't see them getting anyone out. They could make a signing, but with the cap space they've got, will they do anything significant that's going to bolster their team right here, right now? I'm not entirely convinced. I think the team that I'm looking at is probably Hull KR. And maybe London.
Hull KR have already been incredibly active getting loan players in, haven't they?
Yeah.
Getting Matt Parcell in, who I thought was absolutely outstanding for them in the Hull derby last Thursday night, scoring that clinching try at the end and looking incredibly happy about it as well. You know, what a performance for a debut. And after only one training session.
Yeah, absolutely. Hull KR could do something. I think they'll be looking for a prop because they have struggled with the middles, just in terms of injuries.
And then can we focus on the rugby, do you think?
Oh, but I like it. I love this sort of stuff because, I mean, look, all this stuff that happened with the transfer window, the merry-go-round, it has produced and manufactured some fantastic stories for us.
Surely it's the wrong stage of the season. Jim White in his yellow tie.
Disagree strongly, and I'll tell you why I disagree strongly.
Because Matt loves it.
Yeah, that's
because
that's true, Alex.
But some of the biggest stories going into this running now, Matt Parcell being at Hull KR. The story for me on Thursday was that Matt Parcell, who has just left Leeds to go to Hull KR, scored the final try and got man of the match. If we don't do transfers now, that's not a story. So for me, of course, I love it. Let's get more of it. It gives you so many. You know, Tui Lola here, how he gets on at Salford. If he goes and kills, that's a fantastic story.
It's certainly given Leeds a sort of an extra life, really. Obviously, they weren't down, but it's given them a big chance to really push on. And you never know, they could even get close to getting into the top five.
Well, the way this league's going, anything could happen.
Yeah.
It's still on. Everyone, it's still on. Right, let's talk about the matches then for this weekend. And I think everyone's got a bit bored with the idea that we always start with the relegation battle because that's the most interesting thing about Super League. So I'm going to flip it on its head and talk about the top end of the table.
But it was the least important game of the week.
Yeah, I know it was, but it was also the most entertaining, I think.
It was a great game.
Hull FC against St Helens on Friday this week. Should we start off with, we mentioned the Hull derby earlier, should we mention Hull now? And we should start with Joe Westerman. We made a joke at the start, but
hopefully.
he's going to Wakefield next year, isn't he? Next season.
Hope he's not walking.
If I were Wakefield, I'd be a bit worried seeing that, really. I mean, it's incredible what he did, and you know, but apparently it's a recurring thing. It's happened several times already.
Once you've got a dislocation, it does happen then, doesn't it?
He's not
got the ligaments to hold it back in, has he?
No. So, you know, how often is it? I mean, the courage of the guy is quite incredible. My admiration for him knows no bounds, but you know, if I were Wakefield and I'd signed him, I'd be really quite concerned.
And, but for West Ham personal, I think he'll be fine for the foreseeable future, but maybe given 20 years' time, yeah. I think he'll be having some serious problems with his knees.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the drummer for the band who does our theme music, he dislocated his shoulder playing ice hockey when he was 14. And now he regularly, when he's drumming, his shoulder will pop out occasionally. Yes.
When I was at uni, we were playing among the people on our course a football game. My best mate, or one of my best mates on the course, dislocated his knee playing. And I've never seen anyone in as much agony in my life.
No.
I got in the ambulance with him, and they asked him, on a scale of 1 to 10, and he got admitted, he'd had some pain relief at this point, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the level of your pain? And he went, 1,000 million. Now, that's stayed with me. That's a memory that stays with me forever. So then to watch
Westerman... that wasn't just because you were in the ambulance with him?
Well, maybe. The fact that... So for me, having that in my mind and seeing Westerman whack his knee back in and carry on playing was... Wow. I mean, absolutely staggering.
But recurring injuries are no... It's not a joke, really. I mean, I have one personally playing FIFA on the computer. I can clip my thumb now because I used to hit the space bar with my thumb
that
to shoot.
Weird.
And now I can clip my thumb.
That's not an injury, though. With no disrespect, Alex, that's hardly dislocating your knee.
I think we're wandering off rugby league.
I bet, yes. Anyway, right, so all against St Helens. Let's talk about St Helens' performance against Warrington last week. It was a great occasion. I mean, there was a couple of calls that went the way of St Helens, which in the end...
Yeah, the first.
I don't want to say it mattered.
The first try of the game, St Helens scored off a forward pass, and I think no matter which way you look at it, it was a forward pass. You know, even the momentum rule couldn't come in to rescue that try for St Helens, but it was given. Percival scored it, and they went on to win. From that moment, they just looked constantly on top, didn't they? And I think the way they wore down Warrington last Friday was absolutely outstanding for St Helens.
What do we take into that game for the potential grand final if it does go the way of league position?
I think the only thing that it reinforced, and it didn't need reinforcing, was that St Helens are by far the best team in this competition. Mm. And I would be staggered if they aren't lifting the trophy at Old Trafford. I know.
And at Wembley, of course.
And at Wembley.
Yeah.
Although Halifax might have something to say about it.
Well, of course they will. Well, they'll have something to say about it. Yeah.
Well, there has to be a reason for the current run of form, let's be honest. Yeah. Anyway, more on the championship later. What about Hull? They're the team in third at the moment. And obviously, you know, it's a derby last week. You can't read too much into it. I mean, the form going into the game has been excellent.
Well, they were the form team, weren't they? But And Hull KR arguably weren't. And yet, here you go, 18-10. Hull KR have won it, and now there's four teams at the bottom.
I mean, they'll be disappointed, but
of the current top five, I mean, I hold the I don't want to say joke in the pack or the dark horse.
Well, they were. They certainly were.
Well, let's not forget last week, Albert Kelly wasn't playing, and they had a halfback combination of Jake Connor and Mike Snead. That didn't fire quite as well as I thought it would do.
It would be worrying if I was a Hull fan, and I'd be... And looking at the team sheet, and I was worried about Mark Snead and Jake Connor playing, because Jake Connor will probably be a Great Britain international, and Mark Snead has won Lance Todd trophies and whatnot. So if I'm worried about those two playing together, then what does that say?
Well, indeed, yeah.
I to answer your question, I'm sure we'll go on to him.
Wigan. Yeah, I've got it in my back pocket.
They're just doing the usual Wigan thing of
very
just
quiet.
Very quietly, very under the radar.
More quiet than usual, though.
Well, yeah, because no one's looking at that part of the table.
Yeah.
If you're between fourth and seventh, no one's really interested.
It's got to be the quietest reigning champion maneuver ever.
Yeah. They're like a warship in the fog, aren't they?
It's almost like we've forgotten they're the reigning champions. They've got a different coach.
And they've got loads of home games left. They've just had 6 weeks away. They played Salford last Friday for the first home game, you know, after that 6 weeks. And now they've got a preponderance of home games. Yeah. So I think we can say with some safety that Wigan are in the top five to stay.
Oh, I won't go that far yet.
Well,
no,
I've got. We're going to talk about the Hull KR match shortly, but
I don't think Wigan will end up in the top three, but I think they'll end up being
fourth. I think it's very... I'm very reluctant to say anything outright at the minute because it's, you know,
it changes week to week, doesn't it?
You know, I was bigging up Salford last week, and now they're the seventh.
And of course, suddenly, Cass was seventh, and now a fourth.
Salford.
We were all talking. Let's not forget about 3 weeks ago. We were all talking about how Huddersfield, having won at Magic Weekend, were going to push on to the playoffs and are now joint bottom. So I'm very, very reluctant. Alex is very smug because about 4 months ago now, he says that he thought Huddersfield could go down.
Got laughed at.
For a good couple of
months. Who's laughing now, Alex? Yeah, anyway. Anyway, let's talk about the other game involving teams up towards the top end. Is that true? That's not even true, is it? Catalans against Wakefield on Saturday. Catalans are Catalans dropping sliding. A bit, aren't
well,
they?
If you, well, if you put a form crisis. Table together, if you put a form table together, it'd probably be bottom.
Yeah, but they have any... Look, they're going through an injury crisis. Well, let's look at Wakefield.
Sam Moore's injured, isn't he?
Right.
Now, and
as an example, Wakefield have just gone through an injury crisis. They've lost a hell of a lot of games. Castleford went through an injury crisis, lost a hell of a lot of games. It's only the same as Catalans. I think the list of players that they've currently got out is at eight, and it's not just squad players. They are significant players. It's Sam Moore, Jason Battieri, Kenny Edwards.
Is he injured or just dropped, Kenny Edwards?
No, injured. Mickey McAlorum's been injured. Braden Williame, I believe, is in. There's loads. Luis Tini. So, you know, unfortunately for them...
I think this weekend is a great opportunity for Wakefield to win in France and to get their top five
There is absolutely no doubt in that now is the time to play Catalan. Mm. Absolutely. And Leeds were the beneficiaries this week.
I love Tony Gigo. I love watching him because you don't know what you're going to get, do you?
Turn down a deal, though, you know.
That's what I was going to bring
sorry,
up.
Sorry.
And I've got your name next to it because you're the one whose name's next to the article in the Express this week about Tony Gigo and his future at the club.
I have a hunch, quite a strong one, that he won't be there next year.
It's harder, though, to say where he will be, isn't it? Because I can't see many clubs really need a full-back at the moment. And the thing about Tony is he is actually very unpredictable, as you've said. And that's got its positives and negatives, isn't it? And
would he suit anywhere else?
Well, I'm not sure he would do. I certainly don't think he'd suit an NRL club. I think he'd make too many mistakes for an NRL club, to be honest, the way they coach their teams.
There are two clubs, for me, where I could see him playing.
One is London Broncos, I guess.
No.
No, right.
Purely finances on that.
Yeah,
I'm told that I'm told the contract he turned down at Catalans was six figure. London aren't going to be able to.
No, maybe
that.
Not.
The two clubs that I can see Tony Gigo play for, one is Wigan. It's clear that Adrian Lamb doesn't rate Morgan Escarrer.
Gigo's not a Wigan player, is he?
Let me explain. So Escarrer isn't rated by Adrian Lamb. He's played Dan Sargenton at fullback before him, and he's a centre. So he doesn't rate Escarrer. I think Escarrer could go back to Catalan. I think he could go back to Catalan. Now, Gigo's not going to go to Wigan and be the first choice fullback because he's got Zach Hardacre. But he's played a lot of standoff. Tommy Lulawai, I think, will go around once more. But is he going to play every single game? No.
I don't think Gigo likes playing at standoff, though, does he?
I don't know.
If you were to sign him and say you're going to play at standoff, I'm not sure he'd like it.
The other thing is he can play centre too. Again, I think he's best at fullback, personally.
There's a real weird obsession with turning fullbacks into standoffs, just so they get more of the ball. But sometimes the only ones I can think of recently, Jack White and the Canberra Raiders has made that transition and done it really well, but other ones certainly haven't.
Yeah. Tompkins for me, Sam Tompkins and other, they put him into standoff, and for me, I just think he's better at fullback.
Why would you move your best... Tony Gigo is arguably one of Catalan's best players. Yeah. Why would you move him from his best position?
Yeah,
Is the contract talks ongoing?
Yeah, they're ongoing. And I have no idea if Wigan have coming from. That's not anything I've heard. I can just see that happening.
You had a second team?
Huddersfield. And I think that they are monitoring the idea of Darnell McIntosh being their fullback. I don't think it's worked. I just don't think McIntosh has the passing ability to play a fullback, and I think that's probably been proven over the year. I think they need a fullback.
How would that work with the salary cap?
Well, a lot would depend on Sebastian Ikehifo's future reality.
Do you think he could go to Catalans?
Yeah, I do. I've been told in the last 3 or 4 days that they did show some interest in Ikehifo earlier in the year, and there is potential for that. Look, I have no, again, I have no idea if Huddersfield are interested in Gigo, but I would think if they are looking for a fullback and Tony Gigo's available, they would try and make that happen.
Just throw an out there, aren't you? As a suggestion.
Yeah, I'm sitting hopefully
somebody from Huddersfield is listening to this.
I'm sitting on the fact I don't want anyone to say that I've said that Tony Gigo is joining Wigan or Huddersfield. I'm merely saying that
someone's ringing a cowbell right now.
I think there could be a, I could see it. It wouldn't shock me if it happened.
One person who's not moving anywhere is Jordan Crowther, who's staying at Wakefield, his hometown club. Back to this fixture, Catalans against Wakefield. Catalans have to win this, don't they? Stop the slide.
No, they don't have to win it.
Well, I think they do have to win it, actually. You know, they've got to... They can't carry on this losing run. You know, apparently the chairman, Bernard Gouache, has said changes are going to be made if things don't change soon.
Gave them three games, they lost at Leeds, so he's got two.
He often does make these sort of threats when things are not going well. But, you know, I'd be a bit worried if I were at Catalans, either on the coaching staff or playing staff, because you know Bernard is a pretty tempestuous character and doesn't like losing.
The only way he can make changes though, at this stage of the year is coaching staff. There's not much he can do player wise.
And I just can't. Given everything that Steve McNamara has achieved with them, I honestly couldn't see them making changes there. I really couldn't. I mean, Steve McNamara has done a very good job, but it is. The problem is he's got the most difficult job in Super League. Let's face it, Catalans is a coach killer, really, for reasons unconnected with the, you know, quality of the playing staff.
When you say coach killer, as in it kills a career, or
no? What I mean is that it's such a difficult thing to, you know, be flying to England every alternate week and so on, and all the problems that are associated with that. Mm. You've got one hand tied behind your back as the Catalans coach, which are the, you know, when you look at, say, Wigan, Saints, Warrington, you know, like last week, Saints had to travel about 5 miles to Warrington.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that Catalans never get the benefit of, isn't it?
Mm. It's a coach killer and a coach killer in that regard. Anyway, thanks, everyone. Right, okay, let's talk. That's the TV game on Saturday, Catalans against Wakefield. What about the TV game on Thursday, Salford against Huddersfield? Salford never win at Wigan, I'll tell you that for a fact. Well, and Wakefield obviously beat Huddersfield last week. So,
if we're talking about must win games, and if Catalans must beat Wakefield, then Huddersfield must beat Salford. I am staggered that Huddersfield are joint bottom. I really, really am. When I've seen them, they have games where they find a way to lose when they shouldn't.
You've got to ask whether Simon Wolford has lost it with the players. You know, because it's every time I ever see Simon now, you know, he was
doing that early in the season, though, wasn't he?
But he just sort of looks miserable.
The thing is,
very critical of his own players.
I don't disagree with you. But for me, at this stage of the year, and this goes for any club at the bottom, whether you're playing for your coach or not should be irrelevant. You're playing for yourselves. You're playing for your teammates, because if you finish bottom, you're down and you're out of a job.
You are, but some coaches can motivate players better than others. I mean, I think that's why I think Hull Kingston Rovers pulled off a masterstroke by getting Tony Smith. Yeah. You know, because Tony Smith has clearly motivated those players at OKR in a way that Tim Sheens didn't, for better or worse. You know, we had that interview a couple of weeks ago with Will Dagger saying, you know, how he didn't rate Tim Sheens and so on. Well, you know, I can't imagine they'd say that about Tony Smith. So sometimes changing your coach at the right time can have a big impact.
The concern for Huddersfield is earlier on in the year when they were losing games, they were losing them narrowly just because they shot themselves in the foot and they would literally snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. That's not been the case the last couple of weeks.
Well, a lot of Huddersfield fans I was reading were posting stuff online and saying, you know, the team didn't look to be trying at Wakefield. Once fans start saying that, it gets really difficult, doesn't it? And you've got to sort of, you know, fans can normally sense when something's wrong with the club, when, you know, with the coaching team or whatever. And it seems to be getting to that stage with Simon Wolford. And what's so amazing is that they had that win at the Magic Weekend over Hull, and they've just blown it ever since.
And Salford seem to be probably one of the most consistent sides in the comp, really.
Which doesn't say a lot this year.
They're very solid. They don't get beat by many if they do get beat, and they're pretty good at home.
Well, the really crucial thing is to, the thing that I'll be watching that game with great interest to see is how Tui Lolohia fits into their squad and replaces Robert Louis, because that's going to be crucial for them for the rest of the season, isn't it?
He's another instance of changing a fullback to a standoff when probably shouldn't be doing that.
The fear I have for Huddersfield long term, if they were to change the coach, they got rid of Anderson, they brought Stone in, and the recruitment was a mess because they had to sort the salary cap out. There were players they didn't want, this and that. They kind of sorted it out predominantly. They then changed the coach again, and they've had to go through the same cycle. If they change the coach again, they've then got to do that again. It's all short term. There's never a chance then for Huddersfield to actually try and build
put down something.
So for me, I'm
it's a
really
bit pointless at this stage, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. For me, I wouldn't get rid of Simon Wolford, but I can understand why people would be making that. They lost comfortably to Wigan. They lost comfortably to Saints.
How many times do you have to keep sacking your head coach before you look at somewhere else?
You look at the playing group. Yeah, I agree. Let's look at the clubs in Super League now. Right, St Helens. So they've had the coach a couple of years. He's been a brilliant appointment. Steve Price has come in. You would say they've improved probably on last year.
Yeah,
bit of solidarity. Lee Radford, they could have easily got rid of him at the start of his career, at the start of his time. Mm. Didn't, persevered. Two Challenge Cups, third in the league.
A lot of Hull
fans
were very, very keen to get rid of him. Longevity's
worked. Castleford have probably got the longest serving coach in Super League now. Yeah. Got the
I
first,
think he's in his sixth year, isn't he now?
Yeah, won the title for the first time in the club's history.
I mean, it wasn't too long ago though that we were questioning that level of service and saying you can overstay your welcome.
Yeah, you can.
But they're fourth now.
But getting rid of players, getting rid of coaches year in year out, there is very, very little proof that that works.
And certainly from a Cass fan point of view, I don't think the feeling for Powell to go was ever there.
I think there was probably a small minority, but very that's small, always. But that's always. That's
very, very.
Shall we go to Cass now then? Mm-hmm. And Cass against Leeds, the TV game on Friday. Luke Gayle's back next month. That's right. That's handy.
I don't think he will be.
That's your story.
I don't think he will. I don't think he will be because I mentioned it in the story. They got the dispensation at the start of the year because he was going to be out for the season.
Oh.
If he plays, they've suddenly got to free up his cap space. I just don't see it happening. I just don't see how they can do it.
He won't be starting in this game, though. And against Leeds, Castleford love Leeds.
They do. But apparently Truman won't be playing.
Alex loves Leeds.
I do like Leeds. Give us a few points every now and again. But we were without Mataiti last time, and so we're pretty used to shuffling our spine around. So I don't think it'll harm us too much. And it was a good victory against London.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Rankin looked to play one.
Yeah, Rankin at fullback, who is a fullback. So it's no surprise.
Another example of the halfback fullback thing.
Absolutely. I think what Mataiti gives Cass is he gives a really, really safe pair of hands at the back. Very safe. Doesn't do anything wrong. But Rankin seems to give us a bit of an extra edge in attack, which is perhaps what we've lacked with Mataiti there. He's got a good passing game, but we don't seem to be able to create as much as we used to. Our attacking style seems a little bit more pedestrian than it used to.
Can you remember about a month ago when you butchered me when I said that Mataiti is not a fullback?
Well, I'm not saying he's not a fullback. He's excellent under the high ball. He's excellent under the high ball. But I don't think I might have seen him drop one.
He's not a fullback.
Don't say that on this show. That'll come back to haunt
he's
you.
Not, he's a great Peter Mataiti is a great player. I'm a big, big fan of Peter Mataiti, but for me, he is best at centre. I don't think he's a good attacking fullback.
I don't agree with that, but I think he is a good attacking fullback. But
to be honest, I've not seen that, Martin. I've not seen him do any brilliant attacking. He's brilliant in defence, but attacking wise,
I guess
I think he's joined the line quite a few times this year. Mm. I think, but It, we'll see whether he does that on Friday.
I think the benefit of the doubt has to go to Matautia, because let's not forget that the fullback that everyone loved at Casper was Zach Hardacre, who was known as a very, very good defensive player, but not particularly known for his attacking exploits. Mm. He then played with Luke Gale and proved to be an excellent. So let's maybe give Matautia the benefit of the doubt. Get on the field with Gale and see how he comes.
Gale is a huge, huge player. It's just something about the way he plays. He takes the ball into the line, deep into the line, passes, timing is perfect. Yeah. He does all the little things well, Gale.
If Castleford are heading into the playoffs, and I know what you're saying, Matthew, about dispensation and all that, he's got to go back in, hasn't he? They've got to try and work away.
You'd think they would be doing that.
Just thinking about this, let's imagine Gale does want to come back towards the end of August. Castleford have this problem with the salary cap with playing him. Could we see him go to somewhere like Newcastle, for example, and have a few games for them in League One?
Well, of course, we're seeing him.
Hang on. They're on dual reg with Halifax. He can. Yeah. I tell you what. He ain't cooked tied yet. Halifax. He isn't cooked tied yet. Get him on the field against St.
I feel like I should take the. I'm going to fill the void. I'm going to fill the void Aaron's left and say he'll come in handy in a relegation battle. Right, there we go. That was me doing my Aaron impression, not me being me. Anyway, I was joking there saying you like Leeds. I mean, the Catalan game for Leeds, I think, came at the right time for them. This is the best of games to follow that up for Leeds, I don't think, is it?
They rarely win at Castleford, do they?
They don't, and we seem to have a formula to win, except when it really, really, really matters. But for Leeds, I think it's probably not a bad game. Castle are gettable for Leeds. They are.
I'm going to probably get butchered for this. I don't think that we can read anything whatsoever into Leeds' win over Catalan, because Catalan are just that busted that if Leeds hadn't have won that game, then they would have comfortably been the
funny thing about that game was at least took an 18-0 lead really early, and then Catalans came back to 18-12 and looked really dangerous.
Leeds do it all the time.
Similar to the Magic weekend against London.
If you look at Leeds' victories, a lot of them have been by 2-4 points, having raced into early leads.
Sure.
They look to me like a team that doesn't know how to lead a match.
The really interesting thing now is that Trent Merrin's the captain of Leeds. He's got 100% record so far as captain. I wonder whether putting him in charge of the team is going to make a significant difference
the jury's still out for me, Martin. I don't think, like I say, if Leeds hadn't have beat Catalans with the team that they had out and the players they had missing, that for me would have been an absolutely horrendous result.
And it's an interesting point about captaincy with Michael Shenton still not playing. I think he makes a massive difference for Cass. The lack of leadership on the field with Gale and Shenton both not there, it makes a big difference.
No Gale, no Shenton, tell you what, no Truman.
If Castleford could bring back Gale and Shenton now,
they'd be title contenders.
I'd go as far as
long as we're in the top five when they come back, then it doesn't matter that they're this is the thing
that I think fans are so quick to jump on the back of a couple of bad losses. There's very, very little perspective ever put into this. You look at Castleford, they're without their best player. They're without the best player in Luke Gale, and without the captain in Michael Shenton. Mm. You know, for me, and they've not been with him for basically the entire season. For me, if they make the top five this year, that constitutes success.
It does.
But fans do not see it like that.
No.
And
fans are unforgiving, aren't they?
There's got to be a sense of perspective. Same with Wakefield. Mm. You know, their edge that was destructive last year, that we're all in the dream team, has been decimated.
It's a bit like Wigan. You know, Wigan now look to me as though they'll finish fourth in Super League.
Noah Lockton for 4 weeks.
I think they can still get there, though. But, you know, so they'll start the playoffs in a must-win game, you know, knockout game, effectively. But one of the things that's quite interesting about the playoffs is, you know, normally, I think when we had the top five from 1998 for about 3 years, I think it was always teams one and two that got to the grand final. Mm-hmm. And it's always the case, it's nearly always the case that the top two teams make it, but not always. And it's interesting, in Australia, when they had this system for many, many years, they must have had it for about 30, 40 years, there was only one season when the team that finished first didn't get into the grand final. Mm-hmm. And that was in 1989 when South Sydney blew it after finishing top of the league. You know, but apart from that, the top team always got there. But there were some examples of teams that finished outside the top two or top three that did get there and did win it.
I think I'd be staggered if Saints don't make the grand final.
Oh, I think they're bound to.
But
yeah.
I think Warrington are gettable. Warrington have been beat a couple of times now.
Shall we talk about Warrington's match at London this weekend and how important that is? Because
if you want to.
Well, what's interesting about that from Warrington's point of view is to see whether they give a debut to Luther Burrell, isn't it? It was in the 19 against St. Helens, and I can understand why Steve Price wouldn't want to risk him against Saints, because maybe he thought, you know, it was too big a game with too much riding on it to risk him, although, you know, I'd have liked to have seen him play. But I would imagine at London, he might feel a bit differently about that game. So, you know, we'll see whether he gets a run.
Given who London have beaten at home this season, this is not a gimme, is it?
No. Not at all.
No. London will fancy the chances. I know they got beat by Castleford quite convincingly, but they don't get beat convincingly very often. And they're unbelievable at home. I think they'll stand a good chance.
I think the Warrington pack might be a bit too strong for them, though.
Will be what sort of team Steve Price puts out. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about, you know, they look fairly comfortable-ish in second. They're only four ahead of Hull, to be fair. But,
yeah, they can't afford too many slip-ups.
But they've got the Challenge Cup semi-final coming up. Not too long now. You know, will he rest a few in this game, a bit like Saints did, risking, you know, a slip-up? I think it's going to tell us a lot about what Steve Price is thinking at this
moment. I don't think they're in that position. I think Saints have earned the right to do those kind of things. They're so far in front that they can do that. Warrington aren't in that.
But Warrington aren't going to drop out of the top three. The worst that's going to happen to them is they finish third.
But a potentially poor result against London could start something. I mean, we've seen it with other teams.
I think what you've got to consider is that, and thankfully, as far as I'm aware, there haven't been any serious injuries on that pitch. But everyone spoke about a witness how you were subject to some serious injuries because of the pitch. I think that's still in the minds of coaches. And
it is for witness, there's no doubt about it.
And yeah. I just wonder if Steve Price
even though the pitch got relayed over the close season.
But I just wonder whether Steve Price may consider that and just rest a few. It'll be interesting. I think Burrell will play.
Who would you be resting? Chris Hill?
Yeah. It'd be the pack guys that I'd probably be resting.
They've put a lot of effort in this year so far. And they've most of them have played in virtually every game.
Darryl Clark would be another obvious. But at the same time, that sort of track is absolutely.
I mean,
dream
we say that Warrington will get the better of Warrington's pack. Will get the better of London's. But I mean, London got the better of Saints's pack, and that's the best in the league by country mile.
Can I put it out there? Luke Yates is one of the best forwards in Super League.
Okie dokie.
And I'd be surprised if he doesn't play at the dream team.
Just before we move on to the championship, Wigan against OKR. We've not really mentioned that. OKR have got a big match next week against Leeds, haven't they?
They have, but every game's a big match for them. When you're struggling against relegation, every game is a big match. And Hull KR, I think I'm right in saying they've not got that bad a record against Wigan. You know, they've got. You know, they can't afford to go into any game thinking that they're not going to win it, can they? Because they've got to pull away from the bottom. And I think, you know, under Tony Smith, I just can't see them, you know, doing anything other than really trying to put one over Wigan. And Wigan without Sean O'Loughlin, it might mean Hull KR will fancy their chances.
They've had an extra day's rest as well, which is always something.
I might be wrong, but I can't see anything other than a close game in that one.
Yeah, well, every game, I know Hull KR have lost a few. They lost to London, they lost to... did they lose to any first game? They lost to Wigan. They lost to Wigan by a point.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way that Hull KR have strengthened recently is really quite impressive. And you know, with Matt Parcell at hooker, I think that gives them a lot of direction. I'm a real fan of Matt Parcell, so you know, it's potentially got shock written all over it. Although I don't think it will be, but you just don't know.
If Hull KR can add another quality forward before the deadline, I think they'll be okay. But that's easier said than done, because teams don't want to get rid of players, and I just don't see many out in the market who could do that for them.
Well, that's Super League. What about Championship? The Bulls recorded their biggest win of 2019 with a thumping 62-0 win over Widnes. Widnes going part-time.
Yeah, they took that well, didn't they?
There's nothing to be frightened of, though, because didn't that happen to Sheffield?
Nothing to be ashamed of. I think Widnes need commending for being so honest in their release as they were. The fans, all they've ever wanted is transparency. For years and years and years, they never got it. They're getting it now. It is a shame. It is a blow. It was always, for me, had to be the case. They were never going to get to a position where they could get the bigger central distribution.
It brings Widnes into a new market of part-time Championship players, which is the problem that Sheffield had, as you mentioned, when they went full-time.
Yeah,
they lost Don Brambani and co. because they didn't want to lose their part-time
status.
They lost
Don Brambani, Patch Walker and James Davey, who all went to Batley, and then Batley made the top four.
There's a lot of players who got very good day jobs, aren't they, in the Championship?
Yeah.
So, you know,
The concern I have for Widnes is more immediate, and it's the fact
the relegation.
That they are currently 1 point off relegation.
Yes,
are in a bad run of form.
Playing Rochdale this weekend,
all the bottom six play each other this weekend.
They've got the next two games are massive. Widnes, they play Rochdale, which they have to win, and then they play a very out of sorts Halifax side, which they'll be looking at thinking we could win that. If they can win those two, they're probably all right.
Mm. Well, elsewhere, and a happy Canada Day to the Toronto Wolfpack, who defeated Batley. Chasing Toronto, which is, of course, all the rage in the Championship. Three teams are now 10 points behind. It's getting to the stage now where I think they're two or three wins off winning the League Leaders Shield.
They were. It was a weird performance from them against Batley. That you can see that they like throwing the ball around. And I've not seen too much of them this year, but that's certainly what I got from their performance. And sometimes it didn't work because they were coming out of yardage and losing the ball so many times. They were putting themselves under so much pressure, but they were able to deal with it because they're that good.
Yeah.
And then launch a counter-attack and score immediately. So it's almost like they don't really... Obviously, they need to try to win games. But that was a poor performance and they still won by 30 points. And Batley weren't bad. Batley were good. And they still lost by 30 points. There was nothing they could do about it.
It's Halifax this weekend, isn't it?
It is.
You're going.
Can't wait.
Blimey.
Can't wait. Mm. I think the game's the thing I'm least
mosquito
looking
spray
forward to.
It's the beer festival that Matthew's looking forward to.
I think I'll have to look forward to it because I don't think it's going to be much fun on the field, is it?
Well, there's three teams who are 10 points behind Toronto Wolfpack. Toulouse beat Barrow. Lee just about defeated Sheffield. And the York City Knights squeezed just about past Dewsbury.
York is incredible.
Their running, though, is particularly difficult. I mean, they're there, but James Ford has alluded to this. It's they're playing everyone up in the top half, pretty much.
I still have an inkling that York will drop out.
If they beat Sheffield, though, at the weekend, that goes a huge way to...
I think they've got to play everyone in the top half, and I think they've got Batley and Barrow away.
It's not Sheffield that I'm worried about for them. I think Sheffield will drop off too. I'm looking at Bradford and think Bradford have come through a bit of a rocky start.
Yeah, Bradford have got what it takes to get into the five. I think it'd be great to see them in the five, actually.
They've gone through a rocky spell. They've come through it. They've got Joe Keyes back. Joe Keyes has been phenomenal in his two games back. He got man of the match against Halifax and against Widnes.
I mean, if you've got a top five, I mean, I think, you know, you've got Featherstone playing Lee this weekend, which is an absolutely massive game.
Yeah.
I mean, Lee are the coming side, aren't they? They've moved up to third now. And they're threatening to lose for second
the
place.
The fear for Lee, they brought Ryan Briley to play fullback. Greg McNally's been struggling, but Ryan Briley fractured his leg on Sunday. He played on. Briley played on for about 5 minutes. They then eventually pulled him off because he literally couldn't walk. He went to get scans and he's fractured his leg.
Oh,
so Joe Westerman whacked a dislocated knee back in. He played on with a fracture. I mean, how do they do it?
That explains why he's not getting back to me, because I do want to interview him for another show. Let's talk about the relegation battle in the Championship as well. All the bottom six play each other this weekend. Widnes against Rochdale, Swinton against Batley, and Dewsbury against Barrow. While we're talking about the relegation picture, we should talk about Swinton's match at the Mayfield Sports Centre.
Right, okay.
Matthew, you go first.
The ground itself I'm not going to comment on. I've not seen it. The issue for me we keep being told by everyone involved with the championship that it's got to look as attractive and as appealing as possible. It came to Friday morning, we didn't know where the game was being played. Then gets announced it's being played at an amateur ground, however nice it is, being played at an amateur ground. And it's the latest in a long string of incidents, including Rochdale, where the ground has been an issue. That isn't attractive, that isn't appealing. It just looks amateur. That for me is the issue, rather than the ground itself. We've got to say,
Rochdale Mayfield as a club, I mean, we talk about
the rugby league scene
in Greater Manchester, and now it might have seen better days, but Rochdale Mayfield are proper leading from the front.
Like I said, don't want to have a dig at Rochdale Mayfield. It's not their fault whatsoever. In fact, I'm sure they did a great job hosting the event. The problem that I have with the championship, and I say this as one of its biggest advocates, we keep being talking it up and this and that, but there are so many instances where there are amateurish just incidents going on that are not good for the look of it. Now, quite simply, the clubs can big it up and say that it's going to be this, it's going to be that. Fantastic. Do it. Love to see that happen. Stuff like this has to stop happening because it's only damaging the image of the championship. Simple as that for me.
Well, like we said, Swinton this weekend taking on Batley, and it's Services Day as well. So if you're a member of the armed forces, a teacher, a policeman, a policewoman, a nurse, paramedic, fire brigade, you get in for £8 a reduced rate.
Radio
program
host, what about that?
No. Us mere mortals who aren't cheeky enough to get a press pass, £18.
It's superhero day at Toronto on Saturday.
Is it? That's why you're there, Matthew.
Yeah. I'm dressing as myself.
So. Anyway, League One, Whitehaven went to London and won. Oldham stayed in second with a win against West Wales. Newcastle defeated Workington.
Newcastle are
now 2 points outside the playoffs. And just to split that, the results round up with a mention for Workington and the stadium. That's a big, big blow, isn't it, for Cumbrian Rugby League?
Absolutely.
Just when it was getting somewhere.
Absolutely enormous and really disappointing. Not just for Cumbrian fans, but for Rugby League fans everywhere. They were going to host three games there. Now, at the time that we're talking, the World Cup team, I don't think, have confirmed that the World Cup will not be played there. Maybe they are having some last gasp talks.
Pretty clear, though, that they're...
Well, it's looking... Yeah, it certainly is looking, you know... Because they can't delay on the stadium, because if they do and it's not ready, then that's
even
much
worse.
More embarrassing.
Unfortunately, it always seems to be a case of believe it when you see it.
Trouble is, in 2013, if you remember, there were going to be some World Cup games played at Whitehaven on the promise of a new stadium, and that never happened and still hasn't. So it's, you know, they've got form and they do need some new stadiums.
Well, both clubs have got long-standing plans, haven't they?
Yeah, both clubs have, and they need them because, you know, the stadiums that they're in at the moment are not fit for purpose anymore. So it's massively disappointing.
If it's not Workington, there is a spare spot for three matches. I think it's three matches.
Yeah.
Bradford's Valley Parade has been mentioned. I think Wigan Stadium. I'm personally just going to throw Bristol out there because that was missing from.
Not for me.
Yeah.
They're 10,000 for USAV Cookhounds, didn't they?
So they had a very 7,000, I think it not was. But. It's not being done for you.
Yeah, no.
So, you know, when you're saying not for me, it's certainly isn't for you. But,
tell me, right.
Yeah,
for you. Let me explain it. 2013, went there, as you say. What have we got to show from that?
Well,
no, that's not failing at Bristol, though.
That doesn't mean to say we shouldn't go there again. What it does mean is that if we do go there again, we need something to show for it afterwards. So, you know, that's the
but
point.
The proof's in the pudding.
It needs to be planned for.
Well, we'll wait and see what what John Dunn's
got. But there aren't actually that many World Cup games scheduled for West Yorkshire. There's some for Leeds and some for, I assume there's at least
Huddersfield.
One for
Huddersfield.
None in the Wakefield district, none in Bradford, none at Halifax.
But then again, Wigan's a pretty big omission.
Yeah. Well, they had Leeds.
I would say
subject that, I believe, in the area.
Yes, well, they've already got games at Warrington, St Helens, Lee. Have they got games at Salford?
No, not at Salford.
For me, I'd be sending one to Wigan, one to West Yorkshire.
Of course, we've got the shame, of course, the final's going to be at Old Trafford, isn't it? So
yes, of course.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk back to League One results. Doncaster beat Coventry. Donny, of course, do have some World Cup games to look forward to. And 4 points from the playoffs now, North Wales Crusaders, who defeated Keighley. There we go.
Yeah, I'll say it in Aaron Johnson's.
Yeah. Fill the void.
Doing really well since Craig Lingard left the club.
Yeah. Some big games, though, this weekend in League One, aren't there? Whitehaven v Oldham, 1-2.
Hunslet v Thunder.
Hunslet versus Thunder, that's 4-3. And Newcastle is certainly the coming team in League One, aren't they? If Newcastle can win at Hunslet, you know, they're going to be a real threat to finish top of the league, I think. You know, because Whitehaven won't have it all their own way against Oldham. So, you know, it's a really interesting... The great thing this year is that there are so many interesting battles all through the leagues, aren't there?
Yeah.
It's quite amazing.
It's been... Since I've been covering this game regularly, this has been the most compelling season from top to bottom.
No doubt about it, yeah. Absolutely. Every game's got something riding on it.
Also compelling is the Women's Challenge Cup, and the semi-finals take place this weekend with all four sides looking to reach the final at Bolton. I was going to say the Reebok. I'm old school, aren't I? St Helens against Leeds, Wakefield against Castleford, and for more on this, I caught up with League Express's very own, here's Lorraine Marsden. St Helens currently second in the league table, 2 points off league leaders. They've only had one defeat all year. Leeds, it's an identical record. The two going head-to-head. I mean, what an advert for the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, you know, as you say, a great advert. And anyone who wants to see Women's Rugby League at its height should definitely try and get a view of that game. Decent wins at the weekend as well going into this game. And the two teams are only separated on points difference in the table as well. So it is certainly going to be the tough one to call, and it's going to be, without sounding too cliched, whoever turns up on the day and gets it right from the start.
Absolutely. I mean, what's your take on the start St Helens have had this year? Do you reckon surprised by how Castleford have taken to the league's campaign so far? Or?
No, I think Saints will be quite happy with how they've started. Just that one defeat, as we say, and they maybe just missed the mark a little bit at the end of last season, so they'll have been disappointed with how last season went. So to be up there in second and only 2 points off the lead, I would imagine they'll be really, really happy with that, because we're only six rounds into the season, so we're not even halfway through yet. So there's still plenty of games to be played and plenty of points to be picked up.
I mean, those three up at the top, Castleford, St Helens and Leeds, they've opened up Castleford have obviously got that 2 point lead over Saints and Leeds, but Saints and Leeds have got a 4 point gap between the rest of the division. So that goes to show you how good those three have been. Which brings me to the other semi final, Wakefield Trinity against Castleford Tigers. Wakefield Trinity, one win to the name in the league campaign.
Yeah, they've certainly struggled to find the feet a little bit in Super League, but you do have to remember that they were playing Championship last year, and they are a newly promoted side, and they are finding the feet slowly. And the one thing about them is they might have only picked up the one league win, but they have been competitive in all those games. There's been very few teams that have come in and walked over them. They've always given it a go. They've really, you know, put everything into the games, and maybe just that lack of experience behind some of the other teams in the league, which will come with more games.
What's your understanding on what the crowd's going to be for that one? Because obviously that's the main talking point with regards to Castleford, not just the performances on the pitch, but the performances off it. It's just down the road from Wakefield.
Yeah, it's local derby, so I mean, it's always going to get people out anyway. But Castleford have done an awful lot of work off the pitch to build up the games and get people down to the ground. And they've had two crowds in the last couple of games of over 1,000. So if they can get their fans travelling to watch them as well, it should be a huge turnout. And the fact that and the Saints semi-final being played at Super League grounds as well, it really builds up, you know, the importance of these games.
Absolutely. And the importance of these games, obviously it's the semi-final. The final itself is going to be played at the Reebok, but it's not called the Reebok anymore. The University of Bolton Stadium. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a great occasion. It's part of a triple header of matches that day. I mean, that's a big deal, isn't it, for the two teams who make this final?
That's definitely going to be added incentive on Sunday for these two games. So, I mean, you know, potentially a big crowd there as well if plenty of people turn up to watch all three games, and a great way to put Women's Rugby League on the map as well in that final. So every player involved on Sunday will be wanting to be involved in that day.
Now, just before you go, Lorraine, do I get you to make a prediction? Lorraine, I'm going to ask you to pin your colours to the mast. Where do you think it's going? What do you think the final's going to be?
Given form, you probably can't look past Castleford in that semi-final. The other game is, as I said earlier, whoever turns up and starts the best on the day between Saints and Leeds, I think we'll get it. If Leeds get there, it's a repeat of last year's semi-final, and Cass will probably then be even more determined, providing they get there, to get one over on Leeds again. But Saints will be equally as determined to go out and get to that final, because, as I say, they missed out on a few trophies last year, and Wakefield will want to go out as well against Castleford and show that they're no pushovers, and if they can get into the situation where they're 80 minutes away from silverware in the first season in Super League, then they'll be definitely trying to do that.
Lorraine Marsden there speaking to me on Wednesday lunchtime about the Women's Challenge Cup semi-finals. St Helens against Leeds, Wakefield against Castleford. Just enough time before we go for any other business. And I'm looking at you, Alex. George Burgess.
Well, I said in my report in League Express that they'd throw more than the book at him, and they did. And rightly so. Whether it was intentional or not.
It was reckless, wasn't it?
Yeah, you put your fingers in his eyes after doing it before, in playing for England. So I'm not surprised that they've done that. But that nine-game ban does mean that he will be back for the playoffs. His first potential game could be the qualifying final for South Sydney. So if they get into the playoffs, then he can still produce in the finals for them.
The interesting comment for me from George Burgess was that his career was on the line. That's what he said. Now, what does that mean?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about George Burgess moving from South Sydney. There's been Parramatta that have made offers, apparently.
Hull were interested.
So he's potentially in the shop window, but he's been taken out, hasn't he?
Yes, it's not beyond the realms of possibility he could come back to Super League, is it?
No,
I don't suppose.
No.
You know, we've also got the State of Origin next week, Alex. Who's going to win that one?
Well, we've got the decider at ANZ Stadium, and I can't look past New South Wales, I'm afraid. They've Nathan Cleary is not playing. Mitchell Pearce has come back in, and Tarek Sims is out as well. David Clemmer's coming back in. But Queensland, they've had a bit of a spine problem. Caelan Ponga's not playing, so Cameron Munster's gone back to fullback, which is another case of fullbacks moving to standoffs, but obviously a good one for Munster. And that means that Corey Norman's debuting for Queensland. But in New South Wales for the decider, I think the Blues will win. They were pretty dominant in the second game at Perth, and they featured three or four fullbacks playing all the different positions, with Tom Trbojevic playing at centre, scoring a hat-trick. Another case of playing players that are the best players, not necessarily in their best position, but the way Fittler used him was ingenious, because he sort of hung around the back of the play of the balls for kicks as if he was a fullback. So in the attacking plays, he was wandering around the field as a fullback, but going to centre.
I think Fittler's a very smart coach, actually. I've got to say
it was a risk because he played Jack Whiten, a fullback / standoff at centre, and Trbojevic at the other centre as a fullback. So to play two centres up against Will Chambers, it was a big risk, and it paid off.
And Origin, like we said last week in Perth, 60,000. Surely in NRL, surely.
Absolutely.
The powers that be will be looking at that going.
You would imagine so, wouldn't you?
I mean, next year it's going to be in Adelaide isn't it?
Next year will be Adelaide.
It's also worth saying that the Roosters played Melbourne in Adelaide at the weekend and got nearly 17,000.
But the flip side of that is Parramatta played in Darwin and got 5,000 last week, which is really disappointing.
They only got five.
Yeah, they got 10,000 previously, haven't they? Yeah. For games up there.
So it's
how big's Darwin? It's not that big, though, is it? About 200,000.
But to half the crowd from before.
I wonder what the weather was up there. Hot. You would imagine so.
Yes.
Wouldn't you?
It's hot in Cumbria as well, and that leads me to a segue. Beautiful segue. No, just me. Hot in Cumbria. Paul Crary's comments about the Cumbrian team. In the paper this week, I've heard rumblings from a Whitehaven Workington perspective that has been talked about as well, and it's a must, isn't it?
To bring Cumbria back, well, it's certainly worth trying, and there are a lot of Cumbrian players for various. I mean, in fact, it'd be interesting to put a Cumbrian side together, wouldn't it? Just to
who will check they, on. Who will they play against?
Well, they were talking about England Knights and maybe Kangaroos. Yeah. So. Mm.
It depends which Australia side they put out, but Australia against Cumbria does not appeal to me because it would be a car crash. Mm. What's the point in that?
Yeah. What I would like to see, but it's fitting in the fixtures. I'd love us to have his own little mini state of origin where you had Yorkshire, Lancashire, Cumbria. I think that's
what the answer is.
But
is that the answer? Is that the answer to the missing? Why haven't the Northern Hemisphere played internationals like this past month?
The problem is that rugby league is moving beyond Yorkshire, Lancashire, and Cumbria, and I think that's a backward step, actually, if I'm really honest about it. Yeah, I mean, that, you know, we used to have that when I was growing up. We had Yorkshire, Lancashire, and Cumbria. Mm. But in those days, those are the only places in which the game was played. Now it's played beyond that. You know, you've got kids from Newcastle playing. You've got guys who have come through London, you know, various London-based clubs and so on.
I mean, that's the same story in Australia, but they still do it. Obviously.
Yeah, but it's in Australia, though, but there aren't many players who are born in Australia who play at rugby at the top level, who don't come from New South Wales and Queensland. Obviously, a lot of Kiwis.
The interesting story is that Caelan Ponga was actually born in Western Australia,
right,
which is close to where Perth is, and he was the only player on the pitch that was born in Western Australia.
Right.
Well, there we go.
Right.
Just before we go, plugs, back chat.
Yeah.
No, is it on this week? Yes, God, you got it.
We've got Ollie Roberts, Lewis Fussell, and David Longo from Featherstone. How could I forget? It was very good on their fan trouble they've been having.
Yes.
Very honest.
We kind of skirted it around that, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, but I think it's commendable what they've done this week. Banned three fans within 48 hours. I just can't do any more.
No, and on a positive note, congratulations to Ryan Carr, who's got a new gig at Leeds Rhinos.
Which is bizarre, but I have no idea how that works.
It's been a great 8 months, hasn't it, since he arrived.
That Joe Regling, I mean, Christ.
Yeah, apparently it needs strengthening.
It's going to new levels, isn't it?
Alex, NRL coverage in League Express?
Yeah, well, there's four games this week, and we'll, of course, be previewing the Origin game this week and then the reporting next week.
And, Martin, just before you go, anything to report for next week's paper?
Well, just everything that, you know, everything that's happening in rugby league, basically, will be in League Express. I don't know if you saw the interview with Jamie Bloom over the last 2 weeks. I thought that was particularly interesting in our Rugby League Hero series, and what a fascinating character he is. My goodness.
I'll give you
what a life he's had.
I'll give you a little teaser for League Express early on. There will be news that will interest clubs in the Championship or maybe in the playoffs.
I'm just going to ask the question, listener. You're not talking about a restructure here, just to rule
that
out. Good, right. Everyone can settle down. You can
sit
down.
Or am I? I don't know, maybe.
Oh, don't be like that. Right, anyway. Matthew, safe journey to Toronto.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week. Are you going to be in bed jet-lagged?
No, I'll be back by then.
Good.
With a tan.
You've got one already. Alex, thank you for joining us. And Martin, always a pleasure. And wherever you're going this weekend, make sure you have fun. Bye-bye.